SFM, jou streek, jou frekwensie, jou musiek.
Die menings wat tydens promosiegesprekke op SFM streek radio gedeel word, is die van die gaste en die besighede wat hulle verteenwoordig en weerspieël nie noodwendig SFM streek radio se sienings nie. Die inhoud is vir promosiedoeleindes en vorm nie professionele advies nie. SFM streek radio voldoen aan Suid-Afrika se advertensieregulasies en verseker deursigtigheid en eerlikheid in promosie-inhoud. SFM streek radio onderskryf egter nie enige produkte of dienste wat genoem word nie. Luisteraars moet die inligting onafhanklik verifieer en professionele advies inwin voordat besluite geneem word. SFM streek radio is nie verantwoordelik vir enige besluite wat op grond van hierdie gesprekke geneem word nie.
Sandpiper Cottages in Bochum's Bay ondersteun kus tot kruin, want ons gee om vir die omgewing.
Goeiemôre, Fred Orban hier en ons gesels vandag met Dr. Boel Smits. We are having a very interesting discussion with Dr. Boel Smits, and we are going to address a few subjects, mainly about leopards, I think, and also about rooikatte en alaai diertjies wat al die bokkies vang van die boertjies wat nie wil hê hulle moet gevang word en so aan en so voort. En daar's mense wat ook van hulle hou. Boel Smits, good morning, and bye, welcome, and welcome again. You've been with us before, and Boel is from the Landmark Foundation. Morning, Boel.
Morning, Fred. Thanks for having me.
What we're going to talk about today is, what does Boel Smits do, what does Landmark do, and what is Landmark? And then we'll go on to how can rewilding. Rewilding is going to be the focus of our talk this morning. And how does rewilding affect leopards, and how does leopards affect rewilding? Is rewilding a short process or a long process? What has to be taken into consideration with rewilding? Total rewilding or total rewilding? Can a leopard just be introduced, or must it migrate naturally? Well, first of all, tell us about yourself and about Landmark, please.
Thank you, Fred. Yeah, Landmark Foundation was founded in 2004, and we basically work to support conservation land uses. I think in modern day language that has meant rewilding, and we specifically focus on production landscapes. So we do six things. We try and focus on top carnivores, so leopards in our area in the main. We try and rescue every single one, and have been able to rescue 75 leopards over the years. When we interact with them, we gather data and we use that to produce academic publications. We try and educate people, work actively at schools and through adult education. We try and increase their terrain, because it's all about habitat. And then, of course, we do a lot of advocacy work. We fight with people that do the wrong things in the environment. So, and we try and guide government. And then we try and influence market mechanisms which affect the species and the rewilding efforts.
So what you basically do is you say that leopards have a place in our biodiversity landscape. And you take the steps to ensure that there is some room for them as well, because there's room for leopards.
Yeah, we work in the biodiversity sphere. Now, that's a complex topic. You know, some people are experts at insects, some are plants, and some are mammalian species. We happen to believe that the top trophic species, the one that sit at the top of the food chain, are critically important all the way down the food chain. And because leopards have come to within the brink of extinction in our parts of the world, they needed special attention, and we've been privileged to work 22 years on the species.
Okay, Boel, we'll come back to that in a second.
Word deel van ons Facebookblad vandag nog, facebook.com/SFM-streek.
Well, yeah. You know, apart from looking after leopards and rescuing leopards from farmers that maybe want to kill them, or you know, you are pushing this project of rewilding. Just tell us a little bit about rewilding leopards, and how would you go about it, and what is necessary?
I think rewilding in general is development of some sort of tolerance of coexistence, sharing our space on the land with other creatures that ought to be in the area. And the biggest challenge are those animals that are deemed damage-causing animals, and leopards can cause damage. So can caracal and jackals and an array of honey badgers, an array of mammalian species that will compete with humans.
Yeah.
So the challenge is really to firstly get an acceptance of that with people, and then to help people practically to coexist with them. And leopards are particularly challenging because they are solitary animals, they're nocturnal, they are extremely elusive, so they might even live in an area and you would be unaware of it. And when they cause damage, it's usually a flashpoint associated with anger. So we step into that realm of assisting landowners with the situations through, if damage have occurred and the authorities agree, we would tend to try and locate the leopard, try and capture it unharmed in a cage trap. We put GPS collars on it. That helps the farmer to know where it is and manage his livestock. And we have compensation systems for those participating farmers to do so. It has enabled us to rescue the 75 leopards that we have done, which is significant. And I think that has resulted in leopards being more widely distributed than they were before we started.
And also accepted by farmers that realize that you can actually have a leopard on your property without killing it.
Yep, absolutely. And what is quite interesting is we often deploy these camera traps that people are familiar with on farms, and it's quite noticeable actually once you start working with somebody that hasn't had them on their farm. Once they realize what they have, it becomes much more personal than just the ongedierte.
Yeah. Then you start accepting the fact.
That's
and
right.
It's actually an asset to you, or it can be an asset to you. Okay, we'll go on to that subject in a minute. Let's just have a little bit of music in this lovely sunshine day here in Mosselbaai.
Psst, jy, ja jy, nou dat ons jou aandag het, vertel jou vriende van SFM en ondersteun plaaslik. SFM maak elke dag 'n goed vol dag. SFM.
Well, leopards, such a wonderful animal to look at. It's such a graceful animal, and it's so necessary in our landscape. Tell me, are people accepting leopards on farms now more than they did? Are they learning to coexist with leopards?
Fred, I think on the whole, absolutely so. I think we've tried to demystify the issues around leopards, the science around it, the understanding. And obviously, with the growth of the tourism sector, it has become an asset, as you say. And we have, noticed in some areas, it's not uniform, but certainly in some areas like the southwestern corner of the Western Cape, a dramatic story is unfolding of leopards recolonizing an area naturally where they had previously been shot out.
Without damage to local farmers or
largely, look, it is, where the leopards have to eat, and they are the ultimate opportunists. So if there's vulnerability and availability, they will take prey. But there's much more of a willingness to coexist and accept some loss. And, where the Picketberg, for instance, had no leopards prior to 1995. Today, it has the densest population of leopards. The whole Picketberg Mountain has got 44 individuals living on it. We've also seen leopards return to the Kasteelberg and to the Voorpaardeberg, and recently we've detected them on the west coast as well.
There's been no real conflict that I've read about between leopards and humans there on a grand scale, that it means that it's more dangerous now than it was before. People are scared of leopards, and somehow, but tell me, have you any idea when leopard hunting really started and how many leopards there could have been in the area that we now describe in the Picketberg?
Well, your second question, no one has the answer to, but the determined extermination of leopards started in 1656 with Jan van Riebeck when bounties were introduced, and they stayed in place until 1968 for more than 300 years. And then there was also the vermin hunt clubs, and subsequently they were subsumed by the divisional council, Probdiem Dierjachters.
Yeah.
And they did a very good job of wiping leopards out in the lowlands. By the early 1990s, they were largely absent from any of the low-lying areas of the Overberg, and certainly in the Swartland and West Coast, they were absent.
They're coming back because leopards are actually very clever animals as well. And the fact that we still have leopards is just amazing. If you think how many 300 years they've been hunted, persecuted, and they still survive. We will end the program with our next insert, and that is, you know, how does state get involved, and what can help to protect leopards and rewild them?
SFM, maak elke dag een goed voel dag.
Well, rewilding, we started off with rewilding. What are the essential factors necessary to really effectively rewild for an area so that leopards can actually be accommodated there? That's question number one. Question number two is, are there any leopards still left on the garden route in our area, in the area broadcast of this station?
Fred, the essential ingredients is human tolerance, but human tolerance is not enough. Unless we have a state that is competent at protecting wildlife, we're fighting a losing battle. And that's really well illustrated by the state intent on destroying leopards for 300 years.
Yeah.
And we saw them wiped out.
Yeah.
And slowly but surely, state processes have changed, particularly accelerated after 1995. And in the Western Cape, we are fortunate with a competent authority in the form of Cape Nature.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Where we have seen, and particularly individuals rising up in that organizations that have fought for leopards and other carnivore species. And the results are evident, as we see in the far southwestern Cape, where we're having this recolonization through the Swartland and the West Coast. And the results elsewhere is a bit more patchy, but talking about the garden route, yes, we have got resident leopards in the garden route, and we have surveyed from eastward of Storms River right through to George, and just recently through the Otaniquas all the way past Eight Bells, the Robinson Pass, and there are fairly decent populations, although wherever there are humans, their numbers decrease and become more patchy.
I haven't seen any conflict or read about any conflict between leopards and farmers on the garden route in the last couple of years.
Yes, there haven't been many reported cases, but occasionally there are, and we're currently just working on the George to Utenag road. There we tend to get, because there tends to be more livestock farming there. The garden route doesn't have a lot of livestock farming, although there is some patchy interest in livestock, so we don't see much of it. And occasionally they do take animals, but we tend to have a fairly good tolerance of accepting their presence and their persistence in the area.
Well, rather that than your sheep being stolen. Every now and again, if a sheep disappears for a leopard, that may just help to maintain the population of leopards.
Yeah, and also the mythology. You know, people, if they're known to have leopards, it tends to keep transgressors and trespassers off properties. So it does have that effect. We've in fact seen that even in orchards on the Orange River.
Yeah.
As soon as the leopards are in the area, they have much less fruit theft on those farms. But, you know, you did ask the question, has there been any danger to humans? There's not a single recorded case in 300 years of leopards attacking humans The cases that have been reported are all related to leopards being hunted by those individuals.
That are protecting themselves and defending themselves.
Yeah. So we don't have that history in our parts of the world that leopards threaten human beings.
Daar sê mense nou hoor julle luiperde is so 'n karismatiese dier en Landmark Foundation doen sulke goeie werk en hulle het ondersteuning nodig en die luiperde ook. Well, thanks a lot for joining us this morning. As usual, very interesting. Very much too short, of course. So we'll have to fill this in at some other time with more talks.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Kom spandeer 'n paar dae hier tussen die alwyne, melkhoute, noemnooms en kapokbos. Net 'n paar tree van een van die mooiste en veiligste strande in die tuinroete. Die Ekohuisies bied eenvoudige luksheid, ideaal vir paartjies en klein gesinne. Geniet 'n braai by die kaggels of onder die lapas, nes in die ou dae. Net 30 km van Mosselbaai, Diskant Vleesbaai en naby Fransmanshoek. Tennis, sonna en muurbal, dis by die Sandpiper Sportcentrum. Besoek www.sandpiper.co.za of WhatsApp ons by 082-550-4788. Sandpiper, natuurlik betowerend.
Adverteer jou besigheid vandag nog op SFM. Vir meer inligting skakel SFM gerus by 044-801-7811.